We're having communion in just a few moments. I just have one thought yet on my heart that I'd like to say. And Brother Peter, I guess, put it into my head. And it's piggybacking on that verse from Matthew 28. Go into all the world. And I'm glad at the end of it all. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And I'm with you until the end of the age. And then he didn't say to them, and by the way, guys, good luck. Try hard. Do your best. Now, I guess wishing somebody good luck, you know, I don't believe in luck. Okay, I know what they mean by it, and I maybe have said that to people too. Good luck. I hope you get the three shots in a row. You got to tie the game at the end, and good luck, because you probably need it. It's not bad to say those things, perhaps. But Jesus said something better to them. He said, and by the way, don't try this yet. Don't go anywhere yet. Yeah, I want you to go into all the world, but don't go now. Not yet. First place you need to go before you go to the world is you need to go to Jerusalem. Go to the city of Jerusalem, and I want you to hang around there. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then go into all the world. Then go. You know, the first things have to come first, and I try and mentioned a little bit about that before. But the reason for it is not so that we can claim something, that we have something, that we're believers. But these boys, Brother Peter suggested, and I'm not a school teacher, and I'm not out there in a college campus, but I hear school teachers talk, and I know what some college kids have to deal with and go through. And it's probably not getting any better. More stern will grow the conflict as nears the king's return. And so I'm not expecting the best in the world is yet to come. It's going to get rosy, and we just need a little more roundtable discussions, and we need a few more billion to dump. I don't expect it's going to get any better. Or you're a doomsday. No, I'm not that either. I think there are two sides to this whole thing. In some terms, the world is going to get worse and worse. I used to sit next to Uncle Gordon. Some of you know Gordon Waldfogel. His son Philip is going to be here fourth period. And I sat next to my Uncle Gordon. He played a mellophone in those days, and I played my trumpet, and they tried to put all the instruments way far away from where everybody could hear them. And one time my Uncle Edwin, who Brother Peter referred to, was preaching, and he said, the world is going down the drain. And my Uncle Gordon next to me said, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. It's going down the drain, and it's going to go down the drain, because that's what the Bible says. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Well, what does that mean? That means evil men and seducers are going to get worse and worse and worse. Until when? Until Jesus comes. Now, you could, you know, sit here and say, but I'm not taking that. You could not take it if you want to, but that's what the Bible says, so you better take it. But, there's another kingdom. It's not the one of this earth. It's the one that you've been translated out of. Not will be translated out of. You've already been translated out of the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness. Right now, you and I have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Paul puts it this way. My citizenship, I'm not a Roman and I'm not a Jew and I'm not this. My citizenship is in heaven. Where Christ is seated. And Jesus, before he left, he said, I'm going to give you guys the world. You're going to have a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. You're going to have a lot of tribulation. And in the world, they're going to hate you because they hated me. And they're going to beat the daylights out of you because that's what they'd like to do with me. And they eventually did. And they would like to get rid of you and put you out of society and ostracize and marginalize and all the stuff that has been going on ever since Jesus was around. But Jesus said, I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. I'll give you a joy that the world can't give and the world can't take away. You come into my kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost and live there, and you'll be okay in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And so to pull it off, don't just go try to tell everybody what you heard me say, but you go to Jerusalem and you wait around until you receive the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to heaven, Jesus said. And the Holy Spirit's not coming until I go. Now, the Holy Spirit's always been, because God has always been. And you go back to the first pages of Genesis, and the Holy Spirit is introduced to us there and all through the Old Testament. But in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus was talking about to his disciples, which they received at Jerusalem, there was a power given to them. And that power of the Holy Spirit enables not only to witness for him and to speak for him, but there's the one aspect I was thinking of for these boys particularly, is there's a power to overcome the world and the flesh and the devil. And that power is the power of God's Spirit within. The greater the one is within us than he that is in the world. And he comes to us. You know, you can look at the case, and I'm not going to, but you just look at Peter who knew Jesus, because it was revealed to him, not by flesh and blood, but revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, who made Peter to understand, before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he couldn't confess that, except the Holy Spirit made that real to him. So we can make the case, he was already filled with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus said, no, you're not. Oh, but I believe he was. Well, Jesus said, Pete, go. And don't go preach the gospel to every creature until you first go to Jerusalem. Because that little lady standing around the fire who says, weren't you one of the disciples? I think I know you. Weren't you one of them? I never knew who he was. What are you talking about? I'm not that person. I'm shaking like a leaf. Brother Peter's not just shaking like a leaf. Peter, the other Peter, the brother Peter in the Bible, he just collapsed like a wet noodle, been in the pot of hot boiling water for 6 minutes. You put it in as strong and as staunch as could be. You take it out. You couldn't stand that thing up if you wanted to. Well, that's what Peter was. I never even knew who Jesus was. I don't even know the man. I don't even know who he is. Oh, you don't know who he is, but a little while ago he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Lord. What happened to all that? What happened to all the boasting of I can do? They may all leave you, but not me. You can count on me. I'm Peter. You know, I'm the rock. I'm the guy. I'm the one. That all kind of evaporated until after Acts chapter 2. And then he received power. I mean, what happened? What other thing changed between the end of the Gospels and the beginning of the book of Acts? There's not a whole lot of time in there. What changed? What education did he get? Did he spend a weekend at a youth retreat at some camp somewhere? What changed in Peter? That he got up on a soapbox on the day of Pentecost and he begins to speak to thousands of people. 3,000 of them are converted. Go, Peter, but not yet. But after you're filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll take all that timidity, we'll give you a power to witness and a power to overcome the whatever it was that caused you to collapse and to fall. And Peter, he looked at those people that crucified Jesus and he says, you got to repent. You're the ones that put him on a tree. I mean, the brazenness, the audacity, the nerve. But he preached to these people about a Christ that would save them from sin, that would fill them with the Spirit of God and enable them to face the wickedness of their generation. These kids, they've come from good homes, many of them. They love and serve and follow Jesus, many of them. Thank God for them. I pray that they be an influence on the others that maybe don't. But if there's just 1, 2, 10 kids in that whole village, maybe there are boys that succumb. They have no power to face the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's too daunting a task. They would like to go themselves. They have the verbiage to back it up, but they don't have the wherewithal to do The Apostle Paul knew well about that. To will is present, but how do I pull this off? The thing that I want to do, I can't do. And the thing that I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing all the time. I mean, what's going to change in all this mess? Who's going to deliver me from the way that I am? Well, there's blood that's been shed. There's a life that's been given so that you can have your sins washed away. And there's an open heaven and a power that has come down from that open heaven so that you can live to please Jesus Christ. And these boys need that power. They need that help. There's a verse, and I believe it's, I'll close with this for sure, but it's, I think, Isaiah 59. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I refer to it, I guess, on Sunday, something about this flood that Revelation talks about in the last days, this flood of iniquity that is just spewed out from the mouth of the dragon, the beasts. And they just spew out this venom, this poison of asps, this wickedness, this diabolical stuff. And that's what's being spewed out all over the place. Here, there, and everywhere. There's that beast that looks like a beast. And there's the beast that looks like the lamb. And it's just as diabolical and just as wicked. And it's seducing and it's deceiving. And it's spewed out all over the place. A flood of iniquity. And I think many of us would have to say that I believe that that's the world that we live in. That's why the conditions of the world are the way that they are. Because the iniquity, the wickedness. But there in Isaiah 59 already prophesied, Isaiah says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I love that verse. I love to think of all the evil that's around us and everything that the world offers to our young people. And I'm thinking the boys down in the village. And I'm thankful that God has more than enough to raise up the help that's necessary to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Oh, there is an alternative, and it's not a wet noodle. It's a person filled with the Holy Ghost that God has enabled by His grace and by His Spirit to be true to Jesus Christ. I pray that God will do that these coming weeks. Fill me with faith, Lord. Fill me with faith for Watch Rock. The boys, yes, but Lord, Watch Rock. The cottage, too, yes, but Lord, Watch Rock. The staff in Watch Rock, but not only the staff in Watch Rock, all the old folks. That Lord, help us to stand, and to having done all, to stand. Lord, by your grace, we will. We will. By your grace, we're going to be true. I, some of you maybe lived through a hurricane or a superstorm, whatever you want to call it, Sandy. Did you? Oh, yeah. Katie, you know about that too. And you've all heard of that storm. I learned then what it means to be in a flood. I didn't ever really knew what a flood, I mean, I knew what a flood was. I knew the definition of the word. But I had never lived through one. I had lived through, you know, oh, wow, there's a lot of water out there. But that wasn't a flood. But I remember when that storm came. And all of a sudden, there started to be water. And it was coming into my basement. And I was, I got my son. I said, Timmy, dig a hole. So the water has a place to go. And so he got a shovel. And he was digging a hole down there so all the water could dissipate because I didn't want it to fill my basement. Boy, it's a good thing we got out of that basement when we did because my foundation wall blew out and the water came in like a flood. And it went from to my ceiling in my basement and I don't know how long, not very long at all. The enemy comes in like that. You think you can dig a hole, and some of the kids in the up in the village in Onanda, they think they can dig a hole to keep a step ahead of it. I thought I could. I meant well. Timmy, keep digging. I remember you looked at me and said, Dad, I don't think this is going to work. You dig harder. Do something. It didn't work. The enemy came in like a flood, and boy, we couldn't stand against it. And I had no standard to raise up against it. But when the enemy of our souls comes in, thank God the Holy Ghost raises up the help that we need to stand, to stand, to stand true to Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the blood that cleanses, that washes the iniquity and the sin. But, you know, the power of the blood is power to cleanse from sin. But the power of the blood of Jesus isn't powerful to give us the victory to overcome sin. It's to wash and to cleanse from sin committed, whatever it is. Whatever it is. You could have done whatever it is, but you don't know. Whatever it is, but I've done really, I don't care what you've done. You don't have to tell me. I'm not Father Confessor. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me. But the blood makes me worthy for his Spirit to come upon me and to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And so may God put that faith for each camper, for each boy, each cottager, each one on these grounds during these weeks. I don't know what people face. You don't know what the person sitting next to you faces, because they're not going to tell you. But Lord Jesus, can you give us all the help that we need? You can, by your grace and by your Spirit. We thank you, dear Lord, for the cross. We thank you, it's where it really all started. You said, now I'm going to go away. I finished the work of the cross. I accomplished the purpose for which I have been sent. I was ordained to come down here and give my life. To give my life, shed my blood, to raise again the third day. I've done my job. Now I'm going back home again. But I'm going to send the other part of God down here to earth, to be with these people down here, to help them, to strengthen them, to give them the power to overcome. Lord, I pray that we might be all that you want us to be in receiving. Receiving the forgiveness and the cleansing, the unity that there is at the cross, at the foot of the cross. Lord, we're not dish boys and pot boys. We're not divided. We're not black or we're not white. We're not Latino. We're not Asian. We're all one in Christ. The blood has cleansed us all and brought us into one family. And Lord, there's no middle walls of partition, not between Jew or Gentile or anything else. And we pray for that unity which brings the blessing of your Holy Spirit. We pray for the unity in the village among the counselors. Lord, I don't know if it's ever among the boys, but the girls can get catty. Lord, we pray that there'd be none of it. None of it among the waitress staff, the housekeepers, the dish and the pot boys. Lord, may there be a unity among the people of God as we serve you here these weeks at camp. And so as we hold in our hands emblems that represent the death of Jesus Christ, we recognize that, Lord, it was your desire that we all may be one. And to that end, you gave your life, that you might bring us into your family, where we all call you our Father who art in heaven, where we're all washed in that precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, tonight, before we go to serve and before we go to be and before we go to tell, we examine ourselves. Lord, search our hearts. If there's something untoward between God or between man, Lord, get rid of those things, because we have work to do at camp. And we can't do it acceptably. We can't do it aright until, Lord, you wash us thoroughly with your precious blood. And so as we eat and as we drink, we would come to that table worthily, not eating and drinking damnation, but, Lord, eating and drinking because we have been washed and we have asked you to forgive us and we have now found ourselves in right standing with thee. Lord, we pray that we might eat nourishment and drink life. Jesus, draw near to us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in your precious name. Amen.